You can raise that.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out how to do, honestly. Is it down here? There we go. Good morning, Your Honors. In its essence, this case is about the government appropriation of a private charity's resources in the complete absence of supporting record evidence or any articulated standard for the takeover. Before the Kristen Brooks Hope Center, there were no national toll-free numbers to call for suicide counseling. KBHC was so successful in its efforts to establish national, easily recognizable toll-free phone numbers that anyone could call at any time of the day for suicide counseling, that SAMHSA decided that KBHC's numbers were an important public resource that should be reassigned to SAMHSA. The FCC then granted SAMHSA's request to reassign three of KBHC's numbers. In the process of granting SAMHSA's request, the FCC failed to meet its obligations under its own regulations, the Administrative Procedure Act, and the Fifth Amendment. First and foremost, the FCC's findings are wholly unsupported by the record. The fundamental premise of the FCC's decision was that transfer of the three toll-free numbers from KBHC was necessary in order to ensure long-term funding of the numbers by SAMHSA. This is simply and undeniably incorrect. Through grants, SAMHSA funded the operation of the numbers by KBHC prior to 2007. Currently, SAMHSA funds and subcontracts out the operation of the numbers by a third party. Clearly, retention of the numbers by KBHC and funding by SAMHSA are not mutually exclusive, and transfer is not necessary in order to ensure continued SAMHSA funding.
Is there the commission finds that the $240,000 that Hope Center had on hand was not enough to fund some significant amount of service. Does the record contain monthly costs?
The record contains an affidavit by the head of Kristen Brooks Hope Center outlining its projected costs, and those costs are based on the same call volume numbers that the FCC and SAMHSA used and relied on, and they are also based on KBHC's own experience in administering these numbers as it currently is operating 11 other hotline numbers. So these numbers that are contained in this affidavit are not pulled from thin air. And they are also based on contracts that KBHC has already secured with telecommunications providers that set out the rates for per minute call and for handling of the toll-free numbers.
Where's that affidavit, and was there any
Affidavit,
conflicting affidavit?
I'm sorry?
And was there any conflicting affidavit?
There was no conflicting affidavit. The only evidence submitted by SAMHSA relating to costs were estimates of its own costs. However, it did not provide any breakdown of those costs. It did not provide any explanation of how it how it incurred those costs, and really all that evidence showed was that SAMHSA isn't as efficient as KBHC, or perhaps it doesn't have as good agreed contract rates with its telecommunications providers. SAMHSA merely stated, here's what it costs us. KBHC stated, well, here's what it costs us. And SAMHSA never challenged that that is actually what it would cost KBHC.
Where's the affidavit there?
The affidavit was attached to one of the several letters that KBHC entered into. I believe it is contained in the Butler Declaration, which is about page 372 of the Joint Appendix. And that's where they presented sworn evidence that the telecommunication services necessary to maintain the hotlines were in place and under contract. In other paragraphs in that same declaration, they showed what their estimated costs were for operating the three hotlines. And as I said, SAMHSA never submitted any evidence contradicting what KBHC's costs would be. Nor did the FCC question that it would actually cost, that the reserves that KBHC had would be sufficient to fund the hotlines for 2 years. And that, in conjunction with KBHC's additional fundraising efforts, which includes approximately, at the time this evidence was submitted, just under $1 million in pledges, which, if all of those pledges are realized, would mean that KBHC has the funding to, as of now, without any future fundraising, has the funding to operate the numbers for close to a decade. And this is part of the complete lack of evidence supporting KBHC's the finding that KBHC doesn't have the financial resources to fund these numbers. In addition to the fact that there was no evidence that KBHC doesn't have the funding to operate the numbers for at least 2 years, there was no evidence that they couldn't raise additional funds to continue to meet the needs of the toll-free numbers. KBHC also submitted evidence showing that the financing issues that occurred back in 2005 and 2006 were an aberration, that really those circumstances that brought those financial issues are not likely to reoccur. They had to do with a sudden and unexpected loss of funding by the government. Now that KBHC no longer depends on the government for its funding, and it does not depend on any single source for its funding, it's really not likely that there will be a simple decision that will suddenly and abruptly, and without them expecting it coming, suddenly take away all of their funding. And that was really what was at the root of the concerns of the financial issues in 2005 and 2006. And in fact, those concerns were pretty much shown to be unfounded, because KBHC at the time was operating other hotlines that never ceased operation. There are other hotlines that were not taken over by SAMHSA that never stopped operating.
Do we have data on the volume of calls at those? On those lines?
On the calls that KBHC retained?
The lines that the center continued to operate.
No, I do not have, there is no evidence in the record on those. But the issue was not that KBHC couldn't handle the volume of calls. The issue was that because of, again, issues extraneous to their ability to fundraise and fund the hotlines in the future, that they had fallen behind on their payments to their telecommunications provider. And so it was being able to meet those payments.
No, but I assume that the payments have something to do with the volume of calls.
They do, but the primary debt that was incurred actually had to do with a penalty that was billed by AT&T to KBHC as a result of ending its contract early. So that actually didn't have anything to do with the volume of calls.
And what about the propositions that the commission relies on to some extent having to do with, well, essentially testimonials by counseling centers, at least read by the FCC as being as preferring SAMHSA?
Well, first of all, the FCC decision doesn't specifically rely on those comments by the counseling centers. And if you look at the commentary by the counseling centers, those that give a specific reason are confusing what is at issue. What is at issue here is simply operation of the hotlines themselves, which involves routing the numbers that come into the appropriate suicide counseling center. SAMHSA currently not only has subcontracted out the process of routing phone calls, but it is also, in addition and separately, providing funding to individual counseling centers that have to do with substantive counseling. That is not at issue. KBHC has never had any involvement in the actual counseling provided. The role that's associated with the numbers and just the numbers, which is all that is at issue here, is simply the routing function. And those comments had to do with the substantive functions and concern about loss of funding for the substantive counseling, at least for the most part.
You have any questions?
I believe I'm out of time unless your honors have additional questions.
Okay. Ms. Smith?
May it please the court. At 415 of the joint appendix, you'll find KBHC's cost information. And KBHC estimated that it would cost $10,000 a month to operate these three phone numbers if it was returned to it. And that was based on a volume of 20,000 calls, with each call lasting no more than 8 minutes. SAMHSA's cost information is at the joint appendix at 366, and SAMHSA indicated that during the 2.5 years of the temporary reassignment that it paid a little over $28,000 per month to operate these three telephone numbers, and the majority of those costs went to operating 800 suicide. That is the number that receives the overwhelming majority of calls. As
we don't, at least I didn't find data on the call volume over the whole relevant period. There's the material at page 402, which shows call volume from January 08 through April 09, which I guess is entirely in the SAMHSA era, and it seems essentially, with minor fluctuations, to be constant at 20,000 calls, which is what is the assumption of volume that
yes.
is used by the Hope Center's data.
That is correct.
So what exactly is the basis of the finding that 240,000 is not enough?
Well, the commission...
At least I didn't see it explained in the decision.
Well, the commission didn't specifically find that 240,000 was not enough to operate the hotlines for up to 2 years. It gave KBHC the benefit of the doubt on that issue, but the commission determined that 2 years wasn't long enough to support these important numbers, and the commission did not want to take the risk that KBHC would default on its payments after 2 years, because KBHC didn't have any record of ever supporting numbers with this type of call volume without any government funding. As soon as its government funding ended, it ran into inabilities to pay its telephone bills, which is why these numbers were threatened with disconnection and why the commission had to intervene in this matter.
I guess, has the commission, which is not very expert in this field, so far as I know, has it decided what duration an enterprise doing this sort of thing must be able to carry forward to? 3 years, 4 years, 5 years?
Well, the commission didn't make any specific finding. What the decision facing the commission was whether or not it should leave these numbers with SAMHSA, the temporary assignee, or if it should direct their return to KBHC. And on that record, the record showed that KBHC at most could fund these numbers for up to 2 years. And that's giving KBHC the benefit of the doubt on that claim, which was contested by SAMHSA. And on the other hand, SAMHSA had already funded these numbers under a 5-year grant, was committed to continue to use these numbers to carry out its mission to provide.
Are you saying that the center was less committed? I don't really understand that.
Well, the issue for the commission was to stabilize the numbers so that they would be available to callers at risk. And a part of that determination was looking at the entity who could ensure the stability of these lines for the long term. SAMHSA,
the commission never spells this out, but is its premise that any government agency has perpetual access to the Treasury? I mean, as far as the reasoning of the decision is concerned, that would appear to be so. There's never any consideration of the possibility that the funders may change their minds.
That is correct, but the commission did not decide to choose to leave the numbers with SAMHSA because the government has deeper pockets. It's KBHC did not show that it could support these lines for any period more than 2 years.
The assumption is that SAMHSA will be able to, and that it's hard to see any basis for that other than an assumption that, I mean, you use the term deep pocket, whatever, that it has more or less perpetual access to the Treasury.
Yeah, but I mean that may be
spelled out in the decision.
Well, it's not spelled out, but also the commission repeatedly said that it was concerned about the long-term stability and availability of these numbers.
It said it, but it didn't explain why one is so much superior to the other by this criterion.
Well, the commission did point out in two places in its order that SAMHSA had already funded these numbers for 5 years. KBHC, at most, if returned, could fund these numbers for 2 years. It's reasonable for the commission to choose the entity that has already dedicated funding for the longer period of time.
The commission does invoke arguments about the, to some extent, the counseling services, but as I understand it, those are completely severable from the service provided, the service that is linked to the number. Is that correct?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
There are various phrases in the decision which suggests that in matters other than simply operating the hotlines, the SAMHSA is to be preferred. But the question is whether those have anything to do with retention of the number.
Yes, it does. I think the if you look at the comments that were filed by the Crisis Center directors and counselors, they uniformly agreed that once the numbers were assigned to SAMHSA, they were able to offer not only better service to suicidal callers, but they also did not experience things like drop calls, technical glitches, misdirect calls. Those are the things that KBHC was responsible for when the numbers were assigned to it, and the operation of the system was, in their view, SAMHSA's grantee or SAMHSA did a better job of operating the actual numbers than KBHC had done. I think some of those letters are in the joint appendix, so it just wasn't that the crisis centers were concerned with the numbers being disconnected. They also were concerned with the way the numbers were operated under KBHC's control, and having one of the crisis centers said that daily they experience drop calls, and sometimes during the middle of a suicide intervention. And so that was why the crisis centers uniformly urged the commission to direct the permanent assignment of these numbers to SAMHSA and not to return the numbers to KBHC. And so I would say that the commission's decision was a reasonable exercise of its numbering authority, and the court, unless the court has any questions, the commission will rest on its brief.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Does Ms. Miller have any time?
All right, why don't you take a minute if you want to.
I will be brief. Thank you for the extra minute. I think that Judge Williams' questions highlight one of the overwhelming problems with this decision, is that simply it is clear from the decision and the record evidence that the FCC awarded the numbers permanently to SAMHSA simply because it was a government agency without any evidence about budget, a funding mandate, or any ability by SAMHSA to guarantee continued funding. And while the FCC said here that they didn't specify a duration, they in fact stated in their decision that they found that SAMHSA could indefinitely guarantee funding of these numbers. And such a finding is simply unsupported by both the record and by common sense. No government agent.
What did they say, indefinitely?
I mean, I believe they use the word indefinitely in numerous places. If you look at paragraph 17, SAMHSA can guarantee this and can guarantee it indefinitely. And first of all, as I said, there's no evidence to this effect. And second of all, no government agency can guarantee anything indefinitely. and I think that's part of the problem, that while KBHC met its evidentiary burden by submitting significant evidence supporting its position, the FCC required zero evidence from SAMHSA. SAMHSA presented nothing about why either it could fund indefinitely or why KBHC couldn't for a substantial period of time. And that $240,000 that KBHC can use to fund for 2 years, that's what it has sitting at its hands now. Continued fundraising efforts will certainly raise more, and as I already said, they have about $1 million in pledges as of 2009. So clearly they can fund beyond these 2 years. We're not talking about 2 years. And to hold a private charity to the level of being able to guarantee funding indefinitely would be unreasonable and clearly arbitrary and capricious. I'd also like to correct a couple of factual statements that counsel for the FCC made. They said that part of the reason they felt that they should award SAMHSA the numbers because it had operated the numbers longer, for a longer period of time. That's incorrect. Prior to the temporary reassignment, KBHC operated the numbers for 7 years. As to the complaints about calls, if you look, the one or two that actually mentioned dropped calls, I believe associated dropped calls with a specific time period, which would have been the 2005-2006 time period when there were financing issues. Also, dropped calls aren't the result of the routing function that KBHC is control of. That's controlled by the telecommunications carrier. SAMHSA does not operate its own telecommunications carrier. It contracts it out just like KBHC does. And telecommunications carriers that are not providing their function of telecommunications connection will be replaced by either SAMHSA or KBHC.
All right.
Thank you.